Good morning. Great to see everybody here at St. Michael's today. We are happy that we have a special occasion today. We will be commissioning our youth and adult chaperones who will be attending the National Youth Gathering this coming week, and they'll be away from home on a brand new experience, learning about our Lord and Savior and our endurance in Him. We'll speak a little bit about that in the sermon today, aimed at them and their experience, and at the end of the service, they'll be brought forward to be entrusted into the Lord's care for their trip. Our opening hymn today is going to be number 869, which is "With the Lord Begin Your Task." I invite you to sing, and we'll rise together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess
that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with all we justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll join together in today's intro. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Pentecost is from Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 41 is our psalm of the day. We'll read it responsively by the whole verse. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health.
As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I am weak.
My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope you laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and our kids are invited up for today's children's message. All right, good to see everybody. We've done it. It's all boys today. All right. Okay, men, let's talk a little bit today about what we just heard in the gospel lesson. We heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, and what that's about is it's all about proving to be a neighbor to someone. The story goes that there was a man who had been beat up, and he needed someone to care for him, and 2 people who should have been the type of person to stop and help, they didn't care about him, and they walked right past him, acting like he wasn't even there. But then a 3rd person came, and he saw that this man was in trouble, and he picked him up, and he bandaged his wounds, and he took him to an inn so that he could rest and recover from his injuries, and he even gave some money to the innkeeper to say, "Pay for anything that he needs, and if he needs more than what I've given you money for, when I come back in a day or two, I'm going to give you the money that you spent on him so that he can have the time to rest and recover and get better." Isn't that amazing? And the whole question that Jesus asked was, which of the 3 people who saw that man who had been hurt proved to be a neighbor? And of course, it's that 3rd man who actually did something to help, did something to help. We use the word neighbor a lot, and we know it means somebody who lives maybe on the other side of the fence from us or down the road a little bit of a way. But to be a neighbor means to care about somebody, to include them when they're not included, to help them when they have a need, to be kind to them, and to show them what Jesus said was mercy, giving them the things that they need in life and making sure that they're taken care of too. Whenever we do these things for someone else, what are we doing? We're showing the love of Jesus to the people who we're helping. And whenever we show the love of Jesus, it's the same kind of love that Jesus has shown to us. Brought some pictures today. You see what's going on here? What is that? It's a wound being bandaged, a wrist being bandaged up. That reminds us of the fact that whenever we're sick or hurt or ill, God helps us. But what can we do when someone else is sick or hurt or ill? Be like that Good Samaritan and help them in their physical needs. Well, God gives us every good gift from heaven, right? And what do we have here? Toys. All kinds of toys. And all the good things that we have in our lives, our material possessions, are things that we can share with those who don't have quite as much. And that can be like being a good neighbor too, and like the Good Samaritan. And finally, I've got here a birthday party invitation. We can include others that maybe don't feel like they're included, because you know what? God has invited us to the biggest party of all, the party in heaven someday. Whenever we think about the people God puts in our lives, and we think about what it means to be a good neighbor to them, first we remember what Jesus did for us, and then we try and share that same kind of love with them. Would you boys pray with me today? We've got big, strong male voices here. Everybody will be able to hear us as long as we pray nice and loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for telling us about the Good Samaritan. Help us also to prove to be a neighbor to those around us. In your name. Amen. All right. Good to see everybody. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, as I've already mentioned, is a joyful day. We'll momentarily get to bless and send out some of our youth and their adult leaders as they prepare to travel to attend the 2025 National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, Louisiana. And that youth gathering is going to gavel into session, I guess you'd say, on Friday, and it'll continue on through the next Wednesday. Kids will have all kinds of Bible studies, servant projects, a whole lot of fun. And what that means is that while they're here with us today, they won't be here with us next Sunday, because this time next week, they'll be worshiping with thousands upon thousands of other Lutheran youth in, of all places, the Superdome, the home of the NFL's New Orleans Saints. It's a real gift, you see, to see these young people step out on a journey that's going to stretch their faith, a journey that's going to connect them with thousands of other Christians, and God willing, it's going to be a journey that's going to shape their walk with our Savior Jesus for years to come. It would have been easy to miss in our readings, but this morning's epistle lesson gives voice to what I would imagine many of us are feeling in our hearts for them. It comes from Colossians chapter 1, and St. Paul writes this: "We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." It's a fitting prayer, you see, for today, because it's a prayer for growth and wisdom and for strength. But Paul ties that beautiful prayer all together with these words. He's praying that the Colossians, and we're praying today, that our youth would be strengthened for all endurance, he says. That's what we're praying for our youth this week. Because as they are going to be worshiping with thousands of others in the church and diving into God's word and Bible studies, as they serve others and learn and laugh, we are praying that they would endure. And believe it or not, endure is the theme of the youth gathering that they'll be attending. You see, it's a theme of endurance because the choice of the theme reminds us that the Christian life isn't just about a series of mountaintop moments that come and go. What the Christian life is really about is about what happens when the high points have passed, when challenges can come, and when we have to live out our faith in the trials of the real world. Now, you kids and adult leaders are going to hear the theme verse, I'm sure, over and over this week, but I want to make sure those who are here get to hear it as well. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is what it says: "Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I want us to reflect on those verses together. Hebrews 12 reminds us that life is a race. And I think every one of us in this room has probably felt that and experienced it. Sometimes it's a race that's fast and exciting. Things and time pass by quicker than we can grasp. Yet other times we find that the race is slow and long and exhausting. Now, for you who are going to New Orleans, what you're going to find is it's a stretch of the race of your life that's full of new experiences. These kids are going to experience big crowds in a big city with big worship and big learning. But I want to say this clearly, that the race of life that we speak about today, it's not just their race, it's ours too. Every one of us, whether we're going on this trip with them or not. We all are a part of the race of faith, and that race of faith is not always easy. The writer of the Hebrews knows that, and that's why he says that we as Christians are to run that race with endurance. You see, endurance is not something you need for something that's easy. Endurance is something you need when things are hard. And that's a reminder, of course, that following Christ isn't always easy. It means that we have to walk through difficult times with hope. It means that we have to choose to obey God's commandments in a world that says, just do whatever it is that you want. It means that we trust in the promises of God even when our circumstances don't make sense. And yes, it means keeping our eyes focused on Jesus when everything and everyone around you says to look somewhere else. Now, here's the good news about this race of faith. You don't run the race alone. Hebrews reminds us that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That great cloud of witnesses refers to all the saints, all the Christians who've gone before us, the believers who lived in every time and place in history. You can think of them in the midst of this race like the crowd in the stands, cheering you on. And in the stands and in that crowd, we find some who were martyred, some who simply quietly served their neighbors for a lifetime, others who taught Sunday school or preached sermons or simply raised children in the faith. And now, where are they? They're gathered around the throne of God, but they're cheering you on in this race of your life. But more than that, more than the fact that there is a crowd in the stands, there's something even better. You've got someone on the track with you, and that's Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the one who ran his race perfectly and even endured the cross for you. And there it is again, that word, endure. It reminds us that Jesus knows what suffering is. He knows what it's like to feel tired. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, to be rejected, to be betrayed. And yet still, he didn't quit. He kept going, kept loving, all the way to the cross. He did it for you. See, that's the heart of the gospel. You see, you don't earn God's love by how well you run the race. Christ, you see, has already run the perfect race for you. And now you run in him and with him and because of him. To you youth heading to the gathering in New Orleans, this next week's going to be amazing. I've already been able to speak with some of you about it. I know how excited you are. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to laugh. You're going to go to worship with thousands of people. You're going to experience the church in a way that is bigger than you've ever seen before. But there might be some moments this next week when you find yourself tired, homesick, overwhelmed, maybe even unsure of how you're supposed to feel. If so, it's okay. But more than anything else, I want you to know this and hear this one truth over and over, which I'm sure you will, that your value is not in what you do. It's not in how strong you feel. It's not in how loud you sing or how many Bible facts you know. Your value is in Jesus, who endured the cross for you. When you get tired in life, just fix your eyes on him. When you get discouraged, look to him. When you mess up, which you might, as all of us do, we fix our eyes on him and his forgiveness. And when you celebrate and are full of joy, you thank him, because he's the one who carries you through. Now, to our adult leaders that we're sending, they're such a blessing. They've invested time and energy in prayer, and you know, I want them to remember this as well. They're not just going to keep the youth group together and safe on the trip. They're there to point them to Jesus as well, and so they go with open hearts too, and are ready for God to work on them just as much as on the youth. And all of us, the rest of the congregation, we have a part to play in this next week too. Because as the youth go on this trip, they're going in your name, a part of your church family. They've been raised here, taught here, prayed for here, and now we continue that support not just today, but throughout the week ahead. I want us all to be certain that we're lifting them up in prayer while they're gone, asking the Lord to protect them, strengthen them, and grow them in their faith. And then when they come back, let's be ready to listen to them. Welcome them back with joy, eager to hear what it is that God has done. And so my hope is this, that the youth gathering for them would not just be a high point, but also a turning point. That time of learning and worship would be something that bears much fruit. That they'd come home with a deep confidence in God's word, a deeper love for his church, a deeper understanding of what it means to endure in the faith, and an understanding that it's not by our own strength, but by Christ who lives in us. So to all of us, wherever we are in this race of faith, whatever burdens you carry in it and bear, hear this. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, because he endured for you, and he will never leave your side. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, the Apostle Paul didn't cease to pray for the church in Colossae that she would be filled with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding and endurance. Stir up in us a spirit of prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, that we would constantly remember them in our prayers, even as they remember us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you grant the length of days to many in our families and communities. You bless us with their wisdom and grant us the opportunity to live out your love for them. So help us to rightly treasure those who are advanced in age, and as they grow in need, deepen their trust in your strength to bear their needs and your power to save and our ability to lift them up. Lord, in your prayer, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you grant us to live in a nation where we are able to still gather without fear, able to pray for our leaders and ask that you guide them in your wisdom and guard us from rising ungodliness in our land. Lord, may your gospel be preached boldly in our land and continue to bear fruit and grow. Lord, in your mercy. Father, because of the love you have for all the saints, we pray for you to heal the sick, to relieve the suffering, to comfort the grieving, and to give peace to the dying. Lord, strengthen them all by your power. Help them endure their trials and to bear the good fruit of faith, even in times of affliction. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Lord, you've been faithful to us who deserve none of your mercies. Lead us to receive your daily bread with grateful hearts, to be faithful unto death, that we might receive the crown of everlasting life. Hear us as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as today's offering is collected. rise to sing the offertory. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. Welcome to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
Please rise. And may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. At this time, we invite forward our youth and chaperone participants for the 2025 National Youth Gathering. We're going to begin today with some words for our youth, at the end of which I will ask you all a question that you'll respond together in one voice answering. As members of this congregation, youth, we have watched you grow as children of God, and we have watched you prepare your hearts for this journey. You've raised funds and studied God's word and prayed together, and now it's time for you to depart. You will be going as representatives of this congregation and of Christ, sharing the good news of the gospel wherever you are, and you are being asked to approach this gathering as an opportunity to set aside whatever weighs you down in